Welcome to the Sea Trade Maritime Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Howard, correspondent at Sea Trade Maritime News, and today I'm in conversation with IDWAL Chief Commercial Officer George Haysom. We speak about a recent product launch at IDWAL, the data set the company has gathered and continues to build, and the direction of travel for the wider ship inspection sector. In time-honored tradition, I asked George to introduce himself and tell us a little about his experience. So, George, please introduce yourself.
Hi there, Gary. Thank you for having me, first of all. I'm George Haysom, the Chief Commercial Officer here at IDWAL. I've been with the company for either short or long, depending how I'm looking at it, period of time. So I joined about a year and a half ago to IDWAL. Previously to that, I've touched on probably the two core areas that IDWAL services. I started out my career as a broker, and I did that for 10 years. And then after a stint in both a long stint in the UK and 3 years in Singapore, I went to an owner in the Middle East. And after that, I went out to Hong Kong with Anglo Eastern as the group commercial director, sort of focusing on bringing clients into ship management and the overall performance, if you like, and marketing of the ship management capabilities of Anglo Eastern. Today, hopefully, we will be talking about, you know, sort of IDWAL's history, and I can give a little bit of what we've done in the sale and purchase markets in terms of inspections, and then what our latest offering is. And that's very relevant to both technical ship management as a third party and also as an owner, which I've got experience in both of those as well.
Yeah, perfect. Very much relevant experience for what my understanding of IDWAL is. Let's start with a sort of outline of the latest offering, IDWAL ID. Could you just give an idea of what it is and sort of what it does compared to the previous offering from IDWAL as well?
So IDWAL ID is a what we're calling a condition improvement program. And effectively, the concept behind it is that we will inspect a fleet of ships, generally on behalf of an owner, but there's a few different use cases we have. But we'll inspect a fleet of ships on a regular basis, let's say 6 monthly, annually, depending on the client requirements. And from that, the client gets a detailed report, which is done impartially by an IDWAL surveyor, using sort of an industry best checklist, because we're doing more ship inspections than anyone else in the world. And from that, he can obviously get this, what I call this 2D view of the asset condition. But what IDWAL ID then offers, and something that's absolutely unique to the industry, is a platform through which to interact with that inspection. So that's a sort of cloud-based, all singing, all dancing platform, which you can, at the most simple level, you can schedule your inspections and you can see, you know, when ships were inspected, etc., what they graded. We'll talk about the IDWAL grade in due course. But also then it's very, very quick to get through to the photos, to the defects, to be able to manage those defects and deal with those defects. And then something that, you know, no one else has ever really sort of done in the industry is we give an overall grade of the asset condition, which will then allow our client to benchmark either his ships internally, you know, how are my MEPO MRs doing versus my STX MRs, if he wants to do it internally, or how is my team one doing versus my team two. And then externally, he can do, you know, how is my fleet of Korean-built MRs built between 2016 and 2018 in comparison to industry standard. And that can be done right down to a granular level of, you know, the 21 subgrade. So is my engine room machinery condition better or worse than industry average, etc. All of the data in the background is anonymized, so a client can only see his data versus industry standard. He can't compare against another client, for example.
You mentioned you're doing more inspections than anyone else in the world. Where's the balance there between the condition reports that you do and the sort of sale and purchase reporting? And has the launch of IDWAL ID sort of changed that balance at all?
What we were doing previously is our standard offerings were sale and purchase inspections and condition inspections. So we're still doing both of those as standalone inspections. And then what I would talk about is what we call IDWAL ID, which part of that is an IDWAL ID condition inspection. But it's a bit more bespoke for the client during the process as well. So yes, we will ask all the standard questions we need to get an IDWAL grade. But if a client has a really specific question that they want us to impartially verify, we can do it. Or if they have specific trading requirements, et cetera, we can do that for them as well. So one of my personal favorites is for FedNav, we asked the question, this is under IDWAL ID still, we asked the question of what does MACN stand for? Or are you aware of MACN? to random crew members. And if they answer, yes, it's the Marine Anti-Corruption Network, then you know that the top-down policy has worked. But if they say, oh, I don't know, it shows that despite having all the posters on the stairwell and on the bridge and, you know, and in the mess rooms, etc., it hasn't worked. So it's sort of there's a bit of bespoking going on with the Idle Idea and the ability to do that. Whereas in the sale and purchase market, what we're doing is, you know, that is a certainly when we're doing the inspection for a seller, that's a totally impartial inspection where we are asked to go on board the ship by the seller, but ultimately when the buyer purchases a copy of that report from us, we are acting for the buyer. So there's nothing bespoke about that for any client. It's absolutely standardized. And then when we do a pre-purchase inspection for an owner, yes, we can go on board and ask them questions specific to them. Like they might know what trade it is or what cargo requirements they're going to have for the ship very shortly. So then we can look at it specifically to them. But in terms of the overall balance, I mean, when it comes to sale and purchase, it's for us, we don't view it as, you know, have we done more inspections this year than last year? Because actually it's relevant to how active the sale and purchase markets are. So in the first couple of months of this year, we've had a fantastic time. We've been incredibly busy, which has been nice to see. And it's a good sale and purchase market. I've learned now in this industry means everyone's happy generally, because it means things are looking good. But last year, of all of the ships bought and sold, and when I say all ships, I'm talking about, you know, IMO numbered trading vessels, we inspected 46.5% of them. So our market share in the sale and purchase market is unparalleled, which is why we can say we do more inspections. And then when it comes to Idle Idea and our condition inspections, that is very much our growth area, if you like.
I have to thank you there for not putting me on the spot to ask me if I knew what MACN was. Now, I did, but there's no way that I can prove it now at this point.
Yeah.
It took me a good 5 seconds to remember.
Well done for me. It is a very good cause, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I read that there's quite a long list of companies that Idle Idea was developed sort of in conjunction with. How important was that? How did those companies contribute and sort of shape the form that Idle Idea ended up in?
I think it's fair to say we've been incredibly lucky because, you know, we were doing some condition inspection campaigns historically for a number of owners and clients. And that was this sort of, you know, they were getting this 2D report that they were looking at. And then from that, they were doing things like taking all of our grading data and subgrades and putting it into a spreadsheet and some rather elaborate conditional formatting. I mean, Tufton Oceanic is a great example of that. Contacts over there were doing a huge amount with the data themselves. And so when we got talking to them, they said, like, what's your sort of drivers here? Why is this happening? And they started explaining it to us. And we said, well, listen, we're building a platform. We can do all of that for you. And we can do it so that you can then interact on it with a dynamic basis. So they were looking at it just within their own fleet because they didn't have any of the external data. But now within ID, they can go in and they can say, right, well, I actually only want to look at my bulk carriers and I want to compare them to other industry geared bulk carriers, etc. So we were able to really work with a number of the clients that we have, and we sort of brought some new clients on during the process as well. And in doing so, we got some fantastic feedback. Another good example on this is CMACGM, who have been a really good partner, actually, because they've brought some quite a lot of horsepower to the table, I think it's fair to say. So they wanted a tool for closing out the defects. Okay, so this was on specifically on the ships that they are using third-party ship managers for, rather than the in-house ship managed ships, which go through their own planned maintenance system. What they asked us to do, actually, is to take the defects and to give them a share functionality. So now, after the inspection's done, when they receive the report or the link for the report and they go into the platform, they can look at all the defects on the platform. They can see the photos really quickly and they can click a button to share the defects. And that can go to the superintendent or even directly to the vessel, wherever they want to send it. And then they can take it as far as rectified and upload the supporting evidence, at which point our contacts in CMA will go in, review the supporting evidence, and they'll close it out. So as I'm learning more and more in this sort of product-led industry, some of it's you build it and they will come. You make stuff and people sort of start trialing it and say they like it. But it's really important to delve into what are the drivers of my clients? What do they need from me? And we've worked closely with a number of other sort of major owners as well, the likes of Cobble Fret and Swire Bulk we've been working with, Anglo American, who actually we started out the relationship with Anglo American on doing new building supervision on their dual fuel LNG Ubuntu series. So they've been really, really good supporters of us, Idwell as a company overall, and really they've been very strong in pushing us in down the safety route as well, making sure we've got a sufficient focus on safety.
I think that CMA CGM example probably serves as sort of showing the value proposition that's there within Idwell ID. It obviously comes at a cost to those that are using it. Could you perhaps go through some of those other values that people or other companies are taking out of the product?
Really what we've done is we've focused on the three key areas where we feel that Idwell ID drives value for the businesses we're working with. And that sits in three categories. So it's workflow optimization, which ultimately allows to save time and money. So it's streamlining of the inspection scheduling, resolving the defects, that one we've just talked about. And ultimately that results in increased vessel uptime. Obviously, if they're being inspected regularly, the defects are being found and they're being sorted. There's then another sort of vertical which we look at, which is the greater visibility and the, leading to the ability to take effective action. So that means that you can improve PSC and vetting performance. You can prioritize preventative maintenance campaigns. So another thing that you can do is if you want to look at just your mooring deck defects with the word windlass in them across your whole fleet, you can very quickly get to that. So you can start zoning down on, I have consistent errors in this area, etc. So it gives you this greater visibility and that ability to see across the fleet in a 3D way. And then the final one that we focus on is this independent validation and the ability to demonstrate excellence. And actually, it's amazing how many people really, really sort of cotton on to this one. They say, look, you know, we're pretty confident that we're doing a very good job, but we don't have any ability to benchmark or compare how we're doing. But with Idwell and the whole grading system, which we have, which is algorithmically generated, let's be clear, it doesn't sort of result in inspection and then a guy at the end says, I'll give that one a 75, you know. It is algorithmically generated based on both onboard data sets that we take and some external data sets that we have as well. So it's you know, it is an industry standard now. As I say, we did 46.5% of S&P transactions. We have inspected over 15% of the world fleet now. So we've got grading data on over 10,000 IMO numbers, trading ships, so 15% of the world fleet. And with that, we can genuinely demonstrate either excellence or in a few incidences, poor performance of our partners that we're working with.
And there's a lot of benefits there for the ship owner and for the operator. Are financiers interested in the sort of granular detail that Idwell ID has? This sounds like it's a real boon for the data nerds out there.
That's actually where Idwell started out with the financiers, funnily enough. A lot of people sort of see us as the S&P guys and that's all we've ever done. But actually, we started out back in the late 2000s, you know, when banks had some distressed portfolios on their hands and they said, actually, we need to know the condition of these ships, you know? So we're very used to operating in that space and there's different levels of interaction. You know, the bigger premium banks who will generally, their books will be not asset backs, they will be revolving credit facilities with owners. They're not overly concerned about, you know, the individual asset conditions. But as soon as you go above that sort of top tier, you start seeing some of the alternative lenders and even under in Europe, the ECB has some requirements as well for people to actually understand the condition of their collateral. And the beauty of what ID is doing is you can do it at whatever level you like. So if as a financier, you don't want to take that interaction with individual defects and share them, of course, that's understandable. You know, you take a step back from that, but you still got the ability to look at the data to compare how is this owner that I'm financing doing versus that owner that I'm financing. And it allows just to make some, for the deal makers in the banks to make some decisions on how well their clients are performing for them, if you like, in terms of a risk basis. The other one is the leasing companies, especially out in Asia, because actually tonnage is their asset ultimately, so there's a much higher likelihood of it being returned to them. They pay a lot of attention to this, and you know, you talk about data nerds, but also bankers who, to an extent, are data nerds as well. They're very, very keen not to read pages and pages and see photos and photos, but to take a data-led approach. And as I say, with Idwell, with the concept of the Idwell grade, at the highest level, that's, you know, the overall asset condition, and then it goes all the way down to the 300 to 500 photos that we take during the inspection. So it can be pitched at whatever level the client wants to interact with the data as well.
Yeah, and speaking of that sort of scrutiny from financiers and others, I expect that's a trend that's only going to sort of increase over time. There doesn't seem to be less scrutiny as time goes on within the sector. There's a lot of data inside ID already that we've mentioned. How much of that can you see, and does it enable you to see sort of the global trends in ship inspections and performance? And if so, what are those trends?
This is a question which is coming up more and more and more. And the reality is the data, and actually the beauty of what Idwell has done, is we haven't only involved shipping people in the process of what we do. So I, considering myself and being a shipping person, it's very easy for me to say, oh, you can't do this. You can't say that every ship is the same. You can't grade like this. You can't, what about the way it's trading? What about the charter rate? What about the cargo it's carried? What about, you know, X, Y, Z? What about the market? You know, all these excuses that we like to come up with to stop standardization in this industry. But the beauty is we involve people who weren't from the industry. And, you know, and this is, I'm talking about PhDs in data science and product guys and software developers, which is actually, you know, the ship inspections and the technical aspect of Idwell is the tip of the iceberg. But actually, the real work is done by the guys behind the scenes who are saying, no, how can we actually generate something that's going to help? So if we talk about what we can do with the data, in reality, I could tell you that, you know, cargo hold number 3 of a 7-year-old Chinese-built Kamsarmax, let's say, the average corrosion level is 15.7%, and it's predominantly spotted. There is some scattered corrosion, etc. It's all there because when the inspection is done, the data sets lie in very, very distinct catalog columns. What we haven't got so good at yet is really exploiting that data, but that is iterative and that is something that will come. We've built up the data set and we've got it, and we're looking to find more and more use cases. And again, that requires partnerships as well. So longer term, it is things like, you know, preventative maintenance. You know, how can you see what the average defects in that ship, you know, the sister ship that's 1 year older, is with yours, etc. So, you know, and there's machine learning going and AI going on in the background as well. So we're working on that. Well, there are some things we have proved at the same time as well. So last year, we released a study which was related to crew welfare. And we effectively were able to prove that the higher the crew welfare subgrade on the ship, the higher the overall Idwell grade of the ship. Now, it's always been a sort of anecdotal thing in the industry that, you know, a happy ship is a good ship, but actually the data really proved it. And one area that it was quite interesting is it was a lot clearer for bulkers and tankers than it was with container ships. So it's not just a sort of carte blanche, oh yeah, the happier the crew, the better the ship. Container ships, and we believe this is because the harder trading patterns they have, you know, they're steaming fast to get to the next port and they're in port for a short amount of time. Obviously, maintenance is more of an issue on container ships. So it had less of a direct impact to it there. So but these stories are starting to come out more and more. We've also been starting to look into, you know, the difference between Japanese, Chinese and Korean shipbuilding over the years. And it gets quite complicated, I learned from my data guys, because it's not just about saying, right, a 5-year-old Chinese-built ship versus a 5-year-old Japanese-built ship, because actually it also then depends, there's another variable, which is when the ship was built. Because if you're saying that Chinese shipbuilding has improved, a 2012-built ship in 2017 would not be good as a 2019 built ship in 2024, if you see, because you've got another 7 years of shipbuilding experience in China. So we're working on this kind of thing as well.
It sounds like there are some incredible stories ready to come out of that data set once someone can get their head around it and pick the stories out. In the sort of broader ship inspection market, I think we're seeing quite a lot of change at the moment. We've got the rollout of SIRE 2.0, which is obviously a huge deal. And I noticed an update recently to the Q88 questionnaire, which is sort of part of its vetting process. How do you see the ship inspection market evolving in the sort of coming years? Is there going to be this continued march towards digital tools and solutions, do you think?
I certainly hope there is, because I won't last much longer if there isn't. But no, I'm absolutely confident. My decision to join Idwell was very much base behind that. It was the fact that, as I sort of said, that there was this investment in something which is really pushing ship inspections into the next stage, if you like. And the sort of words that we talk about, you know, in IDWell is, you know, consistency, standardization, and objectivity over and above subjectivity. You know, when that surveyor is on board the ship, it's absolutely critical that he is going to come out with a fair, standardized, benchmarkable, trendable assessment of that asset. There's nothing that the industry loves or loved, starting to say loved because it is becoming a thing of the past, more than an old chief engineer going on board the ship, taking photos of things and getting back and writing down what he'd found. And, you know, really sort of, yes, he came away from the ship and he knew the condition of that ship. The problem is it was all in his gut and it wasn't actually something that anyone else could properly comprehend. And the problem is once he then went on and he inspected the next ship and the next ship, each time he forgot what had happened with the previous ship. Whereas doing this data-led approach and this catalog approach, you can then start comparing, you know, oh, how was that one in comparison to this one? And it doesn't matter how long ago you did it. So there's absolutely no question in my mind that it's very much, you know, this digitalization, this data-led approach is where things are going. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, let's be frank, between the shipping industry and the airline industry. The airline industry has been doing this for many, many, many years. It's perhaps slightly more highly regulated. That might be controversial to say, but I think it's probably fair. Most people would agree. But you know, the airline industry is, you know, it has many common factors.
Yeah, there's comparisons to the airline industry. There's always that excuse that there are fewer manufacturers in the airline space, but this seems like a process that might eliminate some of those excuses and get down to the actual raw data of things.
Yeah, I think it absolutely agree. And also, it is absolutely true that but that's really on your sort of mainstream commercial jets, but actually you still have in the private aviation industry, et cetera, it does sort of go further out and the cargo industry. And then, but yes, we've taken some advice from people in the airline sector just to make sure, again, that we are staying ahead of the game.
I remember reporting on something in 2022 when IDWell began including questions on seafarer welfare as part of their ship inspections. I just wondered if I could get a quick update on that, how that initiative was received first in the market, and then whether that has led to any improvements in conditions for crews at all.
It's something we're really proud of, actually. You know, we really do. Well, actually, that technical tip of the iceberg, we've got a lot of ex seafarers working for the company, and crew welfare is a really important thing for us. We do sponsor, I was speaking to you beforehand, the mission. We work with the Mission to Seafarers, and we sponsor the Seafarers Happiness Index. And as you say, back in 2022, we introduced the Seafarer Welfare Subgrade and a set of questions around that. It didn't always go without controversy, I think is probably fair to say. You know, sellers saying, oh, my ship's graded badly for crew welfare. How can you say that? You know, it doesn't affect anything towards the buyer. I'm just trying to sell it. And why are you talking about crew welfare? And we said, well, back to the point I made. Well, actually, a happy ship is a good ship. And this is an agenda which we feel is important for the industry to pursue this agenda. And luckily, we do have the market share and the clout to be able to do that. And you know, we've had some really interesting conversations with clients on things like this. I can think of one instance where Nick, our CEO and a great mind within the industry as well, was in a meeting with an owner who was saying, oh, but why is our crew welfare grade so low? And one of the issues actually was that they didn't have ensuite cabins on the ship for anything other than the top senior officers, the top four. And they said, yeah, but it's a Japanese-built ship. Of course it doesn't. They said, well, actually, how do you change the industry if you'll just accept that, okay, well, the Japanese won't do this on their ship? And actually, in this day and age, it is what is expected by crew. And actually, it might mean that crew are happier to go and join an all-single-dancing Korean Aframax or a Chinese-built ship than to go on board a Japanese ship because they're a little bit less worried about their sort of residual asset value in the charter rate from the crew's perspective. So it's those sort of things. It's our ability to introduce these grades and to make sure we communicate why we're doing them and how we're doing them that's very important. So whether we can categorically say, like, how has it improved things? we haven't looked at the trend, if you like, and it's probably something we should do, but it certainly sparks some really solid and interesting conversations with clients. And you know, hopefully they've taken that on board in the process.
Yeah, well, there's a real value in just shining light on these things, right? And people act differently when they know that they're being watched.
Exactly. That's it, is the shining the light. That's where we're at now. And then, you know, as a bit of a sneak preview for a fair way out, but at some point, Idwell ID will be giving data on ESG performance, we expect. So, you know, owners will be able to see their social performance on board, which goes from, you know, things like, not just, again, you know, I talk about how we deal with data. It's not, is there Wi-Fi on board? It's, okay, is there Wi-Fi on board? If there is, what speed is the Wi-Fi? And is it freely available to crew? Is it freely available 24 hours? Is it? And it doesn't just come out in a text, it comes out in checkboxes. So we can start to really see what is being provided on board. And we can see that across the whole fleet. It's also stuff like access to recreational material, quality of gym equipment, which is not just the surveyor's input. It's actually reviewed by our technical team based here in the UK and in Singapore with Idwell as well. So we're really sort of, we make sure to standardize this stuff as well. So there's quite a lot more on crew welfare, and ESG is something we're growing a lot as well.
Yeah, you mentioned about having seafarers internally and their sort of passion for this kind of thing. I think I remember speaking to one of your colleagues who sort of spearheaded this initiative. I think it was Tom Herbert.
Yeah. Tom, who's out in Singapore for us now, so which is great. Yeah. Tom is a really, really phenomenal advocate for this. He does a lot of support, you know, with Mission to Seafarers as well for us. And yeah, as I say, like the passion for these guys is really strong, and it's important for us, you know, as per one of our values as a company, to make sure that we are supporting that for them as well.
George, thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for listening to the Sea Trade Maritime Podcast.